Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Rashima Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki, Jaya Nitai Go Premanande. So tonight we will finish chapter 1 of Canto 11. We've got verses 10 to 24. Sorry, chapter 1. Chapter 1. Canto 11. And verses 10 to 24. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami said, "The Lord, who bore his body as the amalgamation of everything beautiful and dutifully, executed the most auspicious activities while on the earth. Although he was in fact without any endeavor already satisfied in all desires, residing in his abode and enjoying life, the Lord, whose glorification is in itself magnanimous, now wanted to annihilate his dynasty, as there still remains some small part of his duty to be carried out." So, Chandan, would you like to read the first paragraph? First paragraph.
This verse answers Richard Maharaj's question as to how the powerful members of the Yudhan dynasty could be cursed by the Brahmanas and thus destroy themselves in a suicidal war. By the words, "some have come, the chains pulled up," it is clearly stated that Lord Krishna himself desired to withdraw his dynasty and therefore engage the Brahmanas as his agent. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks here that Krishna had clearly demonstrated the insurpassable beauty and strength of his personal form, pastimes and pleasures to all the residents of earth. Thus his incarnation to kill the demons, save the devotees and re-establish religious principles had been completely successful. When Lord Krishna noticed that his mission was now complete, everything having been done perfectly, he desired to return to his presidential abode along with the Vrishnis. Thus the Lord personally arranged for the Yadu dynasty to be cursed by the Brahmins.
So any points? Anything else? So the point is that it's only when Krishna desires something does it manifest. Or it doesn't have to be Krishna desiring it, but Krishna has to sanction it. Like it says, man proposes, God disposes. So Krishna did not desire for the material world to exist. That's our desire. And Krishna facilitates that. But unless Krishna sanctions something, it does not take place. So the sanctioning comes from Krishna. So the same, without his sanction, the Yadu dynasty cannot be destroyed. It's not possible. So the question is, why does he want the Yadu dynasty to be destroyed? So this is what's being discussed here. It's already being described. I think Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, or maybe Prabhupada, it's very difficult to understand what's going on in Krishna's mind. Bhurija Bhuru explains this in his commentary. Right? It's very difficult to understand what it is that Krishna's thinking and what he's trying to achieve. But there are different reasons which are given. And where are the reasons coming from? The acharyas are giving some indication of what Krishna is feeling. But even they say it's very difficult in this particular Moshila Lila. Krishna's winding up past on. It's very difficult to understand what his intent is. But Krishna's sanction is there, so therefore the dynasty is about to disappear. So read the next two paragraphs. So, Niraj, you want to read the next two?
According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, after karma means that Krishna is always self-satisfied, and yet in order to execute his transcendental pastimes, he arranged to destroy his own dynasty for three specific purposes, namely to re-establish in the heavenly planet those demigods who had taken birth among the younger sources of him, to re-establish his plenary Vishnu expansion in their abodes, such as Vaikuntha, Shweta Deepa and Bhadrika Ashram, and to remove himself from the vision of material world along with his eternal associates. In this connection, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has made several important remarks about the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. He states that many so-called religious persons have fallen down by committing the second offense against chanting the holy name, namely Vishnu Sarveshwara Tat Dikra Samadhiya, considering another living entity to be equal to Lord Vishnu, who is Lord of Lords. One who is captured by impersonal tendency of Mayavada philosophy falsely thinks that external material energy of the Lord is equal to his internal spiritual potency. In this way, one equates ordinary living entities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, taking Krishna to be another aspect of Maya. This is the most unfortunate misconception, for it spoils one's opportunity to understand God as he actually is.
Thank you. So, what are the points there? Anything? Very nice commentary which is given here. Who is commenting?
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
Yeah, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Prabhupada's guru is commenting. Yeah, so it's very nice commentary. So he is drawing the parallel to the Mayavad conception. Mayavad philosophy contaminates everything. No? Because what is Mayavad philosophy based upon? Matsara, or envy. So it's a justification not to surrender to Krishna. That's why Mayavadis have their philosophy. Because they don't want to serve God. They don't want to serve Krishna. So the Yadu dynasty, they were disappearing. So one reason that Krishna, which is given, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it's a brilliant analogy or a brilliant analysis of this section, is that when Krishna leaves, then people will think, well, they're Krishna's family, they're as good as Krishna, but they're not the same as Krishna, that's the point. It's Mayavad philosophy. Right, to think all demigods, the second offense against the holy name, to think the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, are equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. That's Mayavada philosophy. To think everything is equal or one, it's not true. We have to understand tattva, Krishna tattva, Krishna sambandha. What's Krishna's relationship to everything? Krishna is supreme. This is the correct understanding of the Bhagavatam. So the Mayavad personality, they'll think that Krishna's relatives are equal to Krishna, and therefore we can worship them. The same that we can worship Krishna. It's not the same. Right? It's different. Krishna's position is extraordinary. So to think something else, then Krishna thought, let me take them all with me. Because if I leave them behind, people will become confused and it will enhance the Mayavad understanding. Do you understand the point? It's like a subtle point, but it's a very wonderful analysis by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he's seeing it like that. So it's one reason why Krishna is leaving this world, why he's taking the Yadu dynasty with him. So, any points?
The point that you've just made, we've seen that happen in other religions where someone dies and then their children start fighting and one goes creates one faction and another one goes off and creates another faction. So it's, we actually have seen it in many examples in today's world.
And even in our tradition.
Yeah, so it makes a lot of sense because Krishna does everything perfectly.
Any other points? Neela, read the last paragraph.
Persons inclined toward this illusory conception of wealth would undoubtedly consider the members of any race equal in all respects to Krishna and worship the future descendants of Krishna's family as being equal to Krishna himself. Thus, the continued presence of the Hindu dynasty on earth would certainly constitute a great impediment on earth on the path of spiritual understanding and a great burden on the earth to contract the danger to the world from the offense of equating Vishnu with the family of Vishnu. The Lord decided to crush the Hindu family.
What's the point there? What do you think?
The Lord didn't want any distractions from the essence of what he came to do.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good point. Anything else? Yeah, it's interesting because the commentators have said in the previous section from last week and also in this section that some of the members of Krishna's family had become a little devious or intoxicated by their power. And because of that, and there was examples, if we go back through the 10th canto, what were the examples? Satrajit. Yeah, the pastime of the Kurura. On that. So it comes so obviously. Right? So there are examples. People who became intoxicated by their power of being born in a particular family, and then they were misusing their power. So Krishna needed to remove that from the earth because they were too powerful. Right? And you'll actually see tonight as we read through this pastime, you'll see there's some indication of that in the pastime with Krishna's own children. Right? There's like an intoxication in their potency. So this is one of the reasons why Krishna decided to lift everyone. And the example is given all through. There are examples here in the 10th canto. And then Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur draws parallels with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. That there are there were instances in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes where the servants even became bewildered. There was Kala Krishnadas, who was traveling with Lord Chaitanya, right, through South India. And then he left Lord Chaitanya to go off and be with some gypsies. So the point which is made there is that even if you're in the association of God himself, you always have free will. You can misuse your independence. Krishna is not forcing you. Right? You can be with your guru. You can be with Krishna. You can be with the devotees. But you can also sneak off and try to do something separate. So the example is given there. So the jivas, they can misuse their independence. So even Krishna's own family members, right? They can misuse their independence sometimes. And they can go off. The possibility is there, and there are examples of people who are doing it. So, any points?
So is it fair to say, on the other hand, that he was also protecting his family by taking them out of the material energy where they could be born?
Yeah.
So it was not just protecting the earth, but also protecting the mortal?
Yeah. The sage Vishwamitra Asita Kanva, Durvasa, Bhrigu, Angira, Kashyapa, Vamadev, Atri, and Vashishta, along with Narada and others, once performed fruitive rituals that award abundant, pious results, bring great happiness and take away the sins of Kali Yuga for the whole world by merely being recounted. The sages duly executed these rituals in the home of the chief of the Yadus, Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna. After Lord Krishna, who was staying in Vasudev's house, as time personified, respectfully sent the sages off at the conclusion of the ceremonies. They went to the holy place called Pindaraka. So we'll read the first paragraph. So, Rasik, you want to read it?
Yeah. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami begins to narrate the story of the Brahminical curse that arose against the Yadu dynasty by the Lord's desire. According to Sridhara Swami, certain religious rituals such as Ashwagandha generate pious reactions. On the other hand, activities such as caring for one's children give immediate pleasure in the present only, whereas rituals performed as atonement take away sinful reactions. But the religious activities mentioned in verse 11, which are indicated by the words Karmani Punya Nivahani Sumangalani Garach Jagat Kari Malar Paharani, were pious in all respects. They produced abundant pious results and great joy, and were so potent that very glorifying the rituals relieves one from all the sinful reactions of Kali Yuga.
So what are the points?
I think the point here is that when you, in Kali Yuga, when you engage in joyful activities like chanting or glorifying the Lord, that brings you so much happiness and pleasure and relieves you of everything, your past sins, and makes you joyful as well in Kali Yuga, which is different than just, you know, doing yoga to relieve yourself of past sins.
Yeah, that's the last point. Yeah, so as it's saying here, everything is attained by performing Sankirtan Yajna. This is Kali Yuga, so the Yuga Dharma is Sankirtana. So by doing Sankirtan, that everything auspicious takes place. Right? We experience that in our lives. The more we surrender to the holy name, the more we chant it in congregation with other devotees, everything becomes auspicious. Right? This moment now, you're happy, pious activities are coming, sinful reactions are destroyed, all these things are taken care of. So that is the power and the potency of chanting the holy names of Krishna. In the previous age, they did other types of yajna, but we have to do what is powerful in this age. The other types of yajna do not work the same in Kali Yuga. Do Sankirtan, chant the holy name. What is the problem? Okay. And the next two paragraphs?
The sages called to Vasudeva's house to perform some auspicious religious activities were satisfied with proper gifts and then sent by Krishna to Pindaraka, a nearby holy place situated about 2 miles from the Arabian Sea on the coast of Gujarat. Its current name is still Pindaraka. Significantly, Lord Krishna is mentioned here as Kalatmana, the form of time or the super soul. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reveals himself to Arjuna as time personified, appearing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to destroy all the kings and armies who constitute a burden to the earth. Similarly, Kalatmana Nivasata Yadudeva Gehe, Krishna was staying in the home of his father Vasudeva as time personified, thus indicating that the time was approaching for the destruction of his own dynasty according to his desire.
So any points there? It says in the second paragraph that one must give dakshina. Whenever there is a yajna, you must give dakshina. That is the system. Right? If the guru initiates you, or whenever the guru comes, you have to give dakshina. That's the system. If you receive something spiritual, you must give something in return. So we give material facility, because we cannot repay more advanced devotees necessarily with spiritual reciprocation. So therefore we give some facility. Or we offer some gifts, or we offer some dakshina, some money, or we give something. Yeah, that's the system. Give some service, some material facility, whatever we can do in order to assist. Right? So that becomes the system. And the third paragraph, it points out that Krishna wanted to end all this. Everything in the material world comes to an end. Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, there is no inauspiciousness. But in the material world, there are conflicting energies. There's negative energies, there's positive energies. That's the nature of the material world. So Krishna, he needed to finish up these pastimes once and for all. Because that's the nature of the material world. Also, you need a Janma Leela and a Moksha Leela, in the material world. In the spiritual world, these Leelas are not there. There's no appearance passed on, there's no disappearance passed on. But here, then Krishna has to facilitate those things. So, any points? To that holy place, the young boys of the Yadu dynasty had brought Samba, the son of Jambavati, dressed in women's garb. Playfully approaching the great sages gathered there, the boys grabbed hold of the sages' feet and impudently asked them, with feigned humility, "O learned brahmanas, this black-eyed pregnant woman has something to ask you. She is too embarrassed to inquire for herself. She is just about to give birth and is very desirous of having a son. Since all of you are great sages with infallible vision, please tell us whether her child will be a boy or a girl." Okay. So there's many points which are made throughout this this section. We'll read the first paragraph. Should we turn it?
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has made the following comment. The impudent behavior of the young Yadus towards the sages headed by Narada, who were all Brahmanas and devotees of the Lord, was a display of deviation from the path of Lord Krishna. Similarly, although the Prakriti Sahajas think of themselves as intimate associates of Krishna, the supremely merciful Lord's determination is perfectly correct in working to finish such false devotees. Such impostors actually never accept real service to Krishna. The Yadukumara's deception is termed seemingly humble, meaning that in fact they are anything but human humble. Therefore, the ridiculing of Vaishnavas by the Lord's family resulted in the great offense against the devotees of the Lord.
Very nice. Any points here?
Even for the Lord's intimate associates and family, he does not accept offending Vaishnavas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's an extremely important point. Any other points?
Or the Yadus, that was his family in Dwarka. Okay, but this does not include the Brijvasis?
No. The Brijvasis are in Vrindavan.
Yeah, so this is completely separate from them. Sorry, I just want to get it right in my head.
Yeah, this is Dwarka.
It's Dwarka.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're in Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. So. Alright, so Krishna is emphasizing this point. It's an interesting point. Even the Lord's associates, his own family members, the Yadu dynasty, if they offend Vaishnavas, pure devotees. And this is the whole point which we made previously. Right? We mentioned this last week as well. And in the end of the 10th canto. Right? What is the difference between the Brijbasis and the Dwarkabasis? We mentioned this when we did the overview last week. Right? What's one of the key differences between the Brijbasis and the Dwarkabasis?
The Brijbasis, everything they do is for Krishna's pleasure. So if they were playing around and joking, they would be doing it to make Krishna happy.
No, no, that's not that. That's a different point. What's the difference? There's no relationship, sambandha, with the Brijbasis. We made this point last week. It's an important point, right? Everyone in Vrindavan, they're not technically related to Krishna. They're not his family. Although actually they are, right? But that's a more esoteric point. But the point is that they're not his family, right? He's a foster child living there, right? But the relate, and this is an extremely important point in regards to Madhurya Ras or conjugal Ras, right? Especially the Parakya Bhav. Parakya means not married, right? Swakya means right, married, right? The queens are called Swakya, right? Their Madhurya Rati, or their attachment to Krishna in conjugal Ras, is based on marriage. It's a relation. Marriage means relationship. You go out, you have to come home. Right? Krishna goes out, he has to come home. There's a relation, there's a responsibility. Parakya, what is experienced by the gopis in Vrindavan, there is no relationship. Right? There is no formality. There is no obligation for Krishna to turn up. Right? It's just a tryst in the forest. It's just a rendezvous in the forest. Right? If Krishna doesn't come, the gopis doesn't come. There's no obligation. Right, but they always turn up. Krishna always arrives, the gopis always arrive. Why is that? Because the relationship is so powerful, it overcomes formality of a formal relationship. That's why it's considered even more powerful. That's why Parakya Bhav is considered higher than Swakya. That's why the gopis are considered superior to the queens. Because you know, there is no obligation. And this gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. So there is no obligation in the love of the Brijbasis compared to the love of the Dwarkabasis. That must be there. So it is being explained to us that these sages don't have a relationship with Krishna. They're not married to Krishna. Not married, but they don't have like a family relationship. The sons have a family relationship. Now they feel like we're part of Krishna's family. Right? But just because you're born as part of someone's family doesn't make you dearer to the person. Right? Prabhupada had a family. Right? Prabhupada had kids, he had a wife. He became detached from them. Right? He was more attached to his spiritual family, right? To his disciples, more than his own children. Why? Because they're more dedicated. Right? There's deeper dedication. So it's not based upon, spiritual life is not based. We're not related to our guru. But Prabhupada said, actually, the way we should see the guru is as the father, spiritual father. That's how Prabhupada said. Right? So, but there is no seminal relationship. It's not like we're physically or biologically related. You know, I'm not my guru's son, but I have more attachment to my guru than to my father. So this is the whole point of spiritual life. Right? It's not based on relationship, it's based on spiritual attachment, rati. So even though they were not born and they were not actually in Krishna's inner circle in the sense they were not his family members, related relatives, but still the other sages were pure devotees, they were completely dedicated to Krishna, just like his family members were. So when they offended, right, Krishna took it very seriously. So it's a interesting point, which the Bhagavatam is drawing out. If you study this deeply, you'll get many realizations. The 11th canto really illuminates. That's why Burajampa calls the book, his commentary, the backward glance. Because what's happening here very much illuminates what we've already learned and what we've already seen in Krishna's pastimes. Now it's becoming magnified. So it's a very important study, the 11th canto. If you study carefully, you'll get deep realizations on the 10th canto.
How is it called the relationship that is based on where?
What's that?
The spirit, the relationship that is based on spirituality is rati?
The word rati means attachment.
Attachment, oh, okay.
Yeah, rati means attachment. So you have rati for something that you're attached. So. Okay. You want to read four more paragraphs?
A similar incident occurred during the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when his own mother offended Sri Advaita Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally rectified this offense against the great Vaishnava, and thus the Lord showed his magnanimity. Lord Krishna's pastime of destroying the Yadu dynasty is also a demonstration of his mercy to his devotees. Believing the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas and Rishis to be foolishly lacking knowledge in the material affairs of sense gratification, the Yadukumaras dressed Sambara, the son of Jambati, as a woman and tried to mock the saintly assembly. Lord Krishna wanted to teach that such an offense committed against great devotees by his associate Samba would be the cause of the Yadu dynasty's destruction, all as part of his Leela. In modern times, such misbehavior has also manifested itself within the Gaudiya Vaishnava community. Unauthorized persons have initiated the process of deceitfully bestowing a woman's dress on their followers. This process is to be counted as a variety of apradhas or offense against Krishna. Such an attempt to cheapen and ridicule devotional service to Krishna is certainly caused by envy towards the real Vaishnavas who are faithfully engaged in devotional service according to the rules and regulations of the Vedic literature. Thus Guru Swami has said, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina Aikantihi Harer Bhakti Upatayiva Kalpate. If one wants to demonstrate his great devotion to the Supreme Lord, but his process of devotional service violates the standard rules and revealed scriptures such as Shruti Smriti Puranas and Narad Pancharatra, then his alleged love of Godhead will simply disturb society by misleading people from the auspicious path of spiritual advancement. Apirasamrita Sindhu 1.2.101. The taking of a woman's clothing by a man in Krishna Leela was intended to point out this fact. Such an act amounts to cheating and ridicule of the devotees of Krishna. Samba is a personal associate of the Lord, but acting as a harbinger of the future misfortune to be created in Kali Yuga by bogus followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Samba displayed the didactic pastime to help the living entities he blessed on the correct path of devotional service. The boys say to the sages, O Rishis, O Brahmanas, O Narada and other great personalities, can you tell us whether it will be a son or a daughter that will be born from this pregnant woman's womb? By addressing pure Vaishnava in this way, they anticipated the fraudulent sampradayas of the modern age in their practice of satyadeha, or dressing men as female associates of the gopis. This unauthorized activity constitutes contempt and mockery of the pure devotees of the Lord. Many false yogis imagine they are disturbing first-class devotion on the liberated platform, attempt to award the status of pure devotees to candidates totally ignorant of the transcendental taste of Madhurirati or the Lord's conjugal love in the spiritual world. Even though they know that the general populace is unfit to imitate the liberated associates of the Lord, they artificially decorate ordinary persons with the ornaments of spiritual perfection, such as tears, melted heart, and the standing on the end of bodily hairs. Thus, these bogus yogis introduce a process that misleads the world. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that the great misfortune caused by such false yogis or Kuyogis was impossible to forestall in this Kali Yuga. He infected them with insane desires for material objects of lust, so that ordinary persons can easily identify such false yogis as deviated from the path of pure devotional service. The mockery of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas by the young boys of the Yadu dynasty who dress Sambhai in woman's garb, and the resultant destruction of the Yadu dynasty conclusively demonstrate the uselessness of the Sahajiya Sampradayas. Srila Jiva Goswami has confirmed that the lack of humanity shown by the sons of Yadu dynasty was an arrangement by the Lord Himself. In other words, the members of the Yadu dynasty are ultimately associates of Lord Krishna, and to facilitate the instructive pastime of the Lord, they acted in apparently unethical ways.
So what's here?
Cunning imitate Krishna's pastimes, not even his sons. That's the one. Cunning imitate Krishna's pastimes, not even his son.
Yeah. What else?
Also, by using his own personal associates, Krishna is showing that how Sahajiya Sampradaya is a bogus sampradaya, where people give unqualified people their swarupa or swabhava, which is not possible in Kali Yuga.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's a brilliant analysis by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because he's showing us that if we deviate from authority, then spiritual life becomes ruined. Right, the quote is there from Rupa Goswami, that when spiritual life stops following the authority of the Shastra, then it causes problems for ourselves and for other people. Everything must always be followed appropriately, properly. So this is the system. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he very, it's quite amazing, he's, the way he explains these points, relating Krishna's pastimes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are spoken in the 10th canto. And then the natural order is that once we finish studying the Bhagavatam, then we'll study the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's called Parishishta Lila, which means further pastimes. Right? Krishna performs pastimes, but there's more to be experienced. Therefore, he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and appears those pastimes. So experience what he cannot even experience as Krishna. Right? So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, drawing on Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, that Krishna was showing through his sons, they dressed as women. They're great warriors, his sons, Sambhara and the others. So they're dressed up as women. Right? And were concealing something. There was like some deviousness there. Right? So then he draws the parallel to the modern times, that there are sometimes sahajiyas, prakrita, which means they cheapen everything. And they say that you can attain Krishna by doing the externals. Right? You want to follow the gopis, then dress like a gopi. Right? Have you seen it before? Have you seen it? You've seen it. Okay. All right, you go to Vrindavan. Sometimes we see it. I haven't seen it for a long time. Oh, yeah, you do. Usually you see someone.
There is a person dressed as a peacock and comes every morning.
Hey, Krishna Balaram, does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least after Kartik, I've seen it a few times.
Okay.
Every year I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, something there. Actually, in Vrindavan, here we have Radha Ballabha. So in Vrindavan, there is also a temple of Radha Ballabha. And they do there's a lot of this upper sampradaya kind of activity going on at that temple. They dress as women and they do all these things. Saki Vesh. Dress as the female. But that's not the way to attain Krishna. None of our acharyas did like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not recommend that. Right? So they dress as women, the sons of Krishna, to try to trick the sages. And also the sahajas do like that. They dress as women to try to show There is another way to reach Krishna, but it's a false way. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives this very powerful understanding of why we should be very careful in this regard. Now what will take place is explained in the last paragraphs, that if you try to understand Krishna's pastimes, but you still have lust within your heart, then you will not receive rasa. You will receive virasa, which means everything will become distorted. You won't understand Krishna's pastimes. You'll just, in your mind, it will be reflected the mundane attraction between men and women in this world. That will become enhanced. That's why you should not approach Krishna's pastimes prematurely. You shouldn't read the Rasa Lila in these pastimes prematurely. Otherwise, you'll become disturbed in your consciousness. Right? And instead of going closer to Krishna, you'll be pushed further away from Krishna. And then at the end of the purport explains that this whole pastime is yoga maya. Krishna is arranging it. His potency is arranging it so that his dynasty can disappear. The boys would not act disrespectfully to the sages, but somehow there's some pastime. It wasn't like a serious, they were just joking around. But it's not appropriate. Right, it's like you dressing up in a sari, and then going and knocking on Devi Marita Swami's door. Now imagine what would happen. Or one of the sannyasis staying up here, and you knock on the door, and you're dressed up like a gopi. You say, "Oh Maharaj, is there any service I can do for you?" Like that. Maharaj probably become angry. "Hey, what are you doing?" Like that. So that's what the sages did. It wasn't like there was a real negative intent. No, but it was just inappropriate. Like that. So the sages, they became sober. They said, "Hey, why are you acting like this?" So it was the pastime which was taking place. So, any points?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like the power said, if you want to identify a false guru, you can. They will be lusty.
Hmm.
So that's a really good way. When you look at our acharyas, they're always so spotless.
Mm. Yeah. Most people in this day and age cannot see that. So, any points? Thus ridiculed by deceit, the sages became angry. "O king," and told the boys, "fools, she will bear you an iron club that will destroy your entire dynasty." So, it's explained within the purport that if you become envious of a great personality, you may offend them. You may commit some aparad. So envy has to be rooted out. Envy is there in all of our consciousness. Right? We haven't got rid of envy. Because we're still in the material world. We're still envious of others. And as long as you're envious of others, you cannot attain Krishna. Why are we envious of others? Because we're still envious of Krishna. We can say we're not, but we are. Because if envy is anywhere in your consciousness, this shows that you are envious of Krishna. So envy has to be rooted out. It has to be taken out of the consciousness. Because if you become envious of great devotees, then your spiritual life is destroyed. So here the warning is given. We have to be very careful about how we deal with the senior Vaishnavas. Because if we don't deal appropriately, our spiritual life will become very difficult. Okay. Upon hearing the curse of the sages, the terrified boys quickly uncovered the belly of Sambha. And indeed they observed that therein was an iron club. So, Dhruv, you like to read them?
Upon hearing the words of the Vaishnavas aided by Narada, the little boy lifted the garment covering Sampa's abdomen and saw the fruit of the offense they had committed against Vaishnavas by their deceit. an actual cup was there to destroy the dynasty. This example shows that in a polluted society, the club of duplicity can never bring peace found in a society of devotees. Mm. Perhaps the duplicity slashes all the mind devotional activities and musical doctrines of the pseudo devotees. The Yadu boys were wary about jeopardizing their advanced position. And indeed had been thinking that as long as they kept the trickery concealed, others would never be able to detect such sophisticated cheating. Nonetheless, they were unable to protect their family from the reaction of their previous offense against the devotees of the Lord.
Mm. What are the points?
So, cheating, which is the prominent fact in Kali Yuga, was there as part of Leela in Lord Kali?
What is that?
Or there was actual cheating there? Was it just a Leela to cheat, or was it actual cheating intentions?
No, it's always been there. Always been there. Anything else?
Yeah, here we observe the sages got angry, even when they're Vaishnavas, they got angry with what the Yadus have done. But you see in Parikshit Maharaj pastime where Maharaj puts a red snake around the Vaishnava, says he doesn't get angry, but the son gets angry. But here the Vaishnavas are actually direct devotees of the Lord, they get angry. So how do we relate that? His Krishna is the sages were also under the control of Krishna.
Yeah, it can be seen like that, because many of these pastimes, the arrangement of Yoga Maya, just like when the Kumaras go to Vaikuntha and Jaya and Vijaya curse them, so it explains, Prabhupada explains, this is the arrangement of Yoga Maya. This pastime also has Yoga Maya running through it. Also with Pariksha Maharaj acting like he did, also Yoga Maya was affecting. So many of these pastimes are. So, it is being said here that if you commit Vaishnava Aparad, if you offend the devotees, you cannot escape the reaction. Now, you can try anything you want, but the reaction will always follow you. That's why if you offend a devotee, you have to rectify it. Otherwise, the offense hangs over your head. Even you can go to another part of the world, but still the offense is sitting there. And it says you cannot attain Krishna Prema, right? As long as those offenses are sitting there. That's why you have to clean. Even Prabhupada, you see at the end in 1977, when Prabhupada was leaving the world, Prabhupada begged his godbrothers, anyone who came to visit him, he said, please forgive me for my offenses. Because he wanted to be with Krishna. So we have to be in this consciousness. Otherwise the offenses will... Because you might forget about the offenses, but Krishna does not forget. So you have to satisfy Krishna. That's why when Ambarish Maharaj, when he was offended by Durvasa, Durvasa went all the way to Vaikuntha, and Lord Narayan said, I can't assist you in this situation. Only he can forgive you here. So even Krishna will not forgive. He won't forget them, but he won't forget those offenses. You have to clear it with the Vaishnava at the door. Any points?
Yes.
Yep.
They thought they weren't going to get caught, that they were too clever. But you can't hide from Krishna. Krishna knows.
Yeah. Yep. The young man of the Yadu dynasty said, oh, what have we done? We are so unfortunate. What will our family members say to us? Speaking thus and being very disturbed, they returned to their homes, taking their club with them. The Yadu boys, the luster of their faces completely faded, brought the club into the royal assembly, and in the presence of all the Yadavas, they told King Ugrasen what had happened. So you can see when someone commits an offense, they become very dark. When someone is practicing devotional service properly, they become very effulgent, very light. But when you don't practice properly, right, you become very dark. The face is the index of the mind. If you look at someone's face, you can see what is going on in their consciousness. As soon as you see someone's face, you can say, okay, they're elevated, they're beyond reactions, but they're not disturbed by material consciousness. Or you can see this person is completely dark and moody, which means affected by the modes of material nature, and they're overcome just by looking at someone. So as soon as they saw the boys, they could tell these boys were very disturbed. Because they committed an offense, they didn't know what to do. You know, sometimes you commit an offense, even your body shakes. And if you commit an offense, or your heart starts beating like that because you committed an offense. And your mouth dries up and all these things. These are symptoms. You have to be humble. Go to the devotees, beg forgiveness. Otherwise, the offense will continue. Okay. Did I read 19? No. 19 now. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word. Oh, sorry, that's the. Which one am I on to? 20, yeah. O King Parikshit, then when the inhabitants of Dwarka heard of the infallible curse of the Brahmanas and saw the club, they were astonished and distraught with fear. Because anyone who makes advancement knows that if you offend a Brahmana, for us Brahmana generally means a devotee, if you offend a devotee, right, then you know there's going to be a reaction. Especially if someone's advanced, you know the person has potency. So then if you offend them or displease them, your spiritual life will become very difficult. So you always have to please the senior devotees. Act in such a way they'll be merciful to you. Right? And then your consciousness will be uplifted. After having the club ground to bits, King Ahuka, Ugrasen, of the Yadus, personally threw the pieces, along with the remaining lump of iron, into the water of the ocean. So Ugrasen has made a mistake here, right? To teach us. Right? Because he doesn't, he thinks, oh, we are beyond offending the Brahmanas. Sometimes we think like this. We're beyond committing offenses because we're devotees. So I don't have to follow all the rules, or I can treat another devotee not properly. Because I'm a devotee, you know, maybe I'm a little advanced, and then there will not be a reaction. It doesn't work like that. Even the associates of the Lord, if they commit an offense, there will be problems in their devotional life.
You should have consulted Krishna, right?
That is the point. A certain fish swallowed the lump, the iron lump, and the bits of iron carried back to the shore by the waves implanted themselves there and grew into tall, sharp canes. So these are the seeds of karma. If you perform some activity, it will grow and then it will get you back. So what took place? They threw like powder, the dust of the iron, into the ocean, but then it all came, grew into reeds, and then later on they all killed each other. So this is the point. You may perform one activity and you think, oh no, now the reaction is gone, it will not come back to me, but it always comes back. That's the point. You can't escape, especially if you offend devotees, you can't escape. It will come back. You will get the reaction. Mm. The fish was caught in the ocean along with other fish in a fisherman's net. The iron lump in the fish's stomach was taken by the hunter Gerard, who fixed it to an arrowhead at the end of his shaft. So then it is said that he killed Krishna with his arrowhead. But you can't kill Krishna. This is just like some leela. Krishna needed to leave. He wanted to confuse the atheistic people. Yeah? Everyone says, oh, Krishna is God, but when he leaves, there's a body there. So they say, oh, he's not God, there's a body. He's just an ordinary man. So Krishna, he leaves the body there just to confuse them all. Okay, look, okay, I'm ordinary, and then he goes. So this pastime of the lump of iron, it had no effect on Krishna. But Krishna is just following the pastime. Knowing fully the significance of all these events, the Supreme Lord, though capable of reversing the Brahmana's curse, did not wish to do so. Rather, in his form of time, he gladly sanctioned the events. So we'll read the paragraph because it's quite important. So, Alia, you like to read?
Ordinary persons may be surprised or bewildered that the Lord gladly sanctions the cursing and destruction of his own dynasty. The word Ambamudata used here indicates taking pleasure in something or giving sanction or approval. It is also mentioned Kala Rupi, Krishna gladly gave his sanction to the Brahmana's curse in the form of time. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada has commented that the Supreme Lord, Krishna Chandra, decided to maintain the curse intact in order to protect the actual principles of religion and destroy the unbecoming offence of the deceitful members of the Harshana dynasty. It is clearly explained in Bhagavad Gita that the whole purpose of the Lord's descent into the material world is to re-establish the authentic principles of religion by which the conditioned souls who are suffering intensely under the laws of material nature can regain their original existential status as eternally liberated servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The living entity comes to this material world with a desire to lord over material nature, although the living entity is in fact not a lord, but an eternal servant. Due to this perverted tendency to exploit the entire world for his sense gratification, the living entity is also prone to try to pervert the principles of spiritual life so that the eternal religious principles become appropriate to his own material sense gratification. Religion, however, is meant for pleasing the Supreme Lord by obeying his Lord, and therefore Lord Krishna himself personally comes from time to time to revive and enliven the correct method of devotional service to his Lord's feet. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that Lord Krishna had completed the vast majority of his pastimes on the earth and was now making the final arrangements for his departure. Therefore, he wished to leave behind a vivid lesson for the living entities of this age, and that any so-called religious person, even if he is so exalted as to take birth and rewards a personal family, cannot violate the respect and reverence which is due to pure devotees of the Lord, such as Narayana. The principle of serving the pure devotee of Krishna is so essential for spiritual advancement that the Lord exhibited the inconceivable pastime of causing the destruction of his entire dynasty just to impress this point upon the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga.
Yeah, that's good. So the Lord comes to establish Sanatana Dharma. What is Sanatana Dharma? Eternal religion. So what is the Sanatana Dharma point which is being made in this paragraph, this last verse?
The principle.
Yeah, one must always serve devotees. Right? That is Sanatana Dharma. So the Lord is emphasizing this. You must serve the devotees. You must respect the Vaishnavas. You must respect the devotees. If there's a quarrel amongst the devotees, you have to rectify the quarrel. Why do you hold on to it for so long? I see devotees, they don't talk for years and years. Why is that? Get rid of it. Destroy it. Respect the devotees. Associate with the devotees. It says, whenever that Krishna leaves, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or any prominent acharya, then there is a period of chaos. This is mentioned in the Shastra. So when Krishna left, there was difficulty. When Mahaprabhu left, there was difficulty. When Prabhupada left, there was difficulty. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, whenever any of them leave, there is always some problem. Very interesting analysis in the last paragraph, if you read the purport. Why are the Mayavadis there? Why are there Mayavadis in the creation? What is their purpose? One purpose is that they keep all the insincere people away from us. Right? Otherwise, they'd all come and join our movement. They cause problems. So Krishna gives Mayavad philosophy, confuses them all, and then takes them all away. So then they don't contaminate our place. That's one reason. Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah.